Welcome into the Rock Talk Studio, the ultimate review of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies. This is the podcast that lets you take advantage of my passion, some might even call it an obsession, with reading and watching a ton of rock and roll books and documentaries. So now you don't have to waste your time searching around for something to check out. Before the show is over, I guarantee you will leave with a bunch of strong recommendations on where to spend your time and your money. Today, the spotlight title falls on the book Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska by Warren Zanes. And I just got to say right up front with this is one of the best books I've read in a long, long time. And I read a lot of rock and roll books. I've read over 20 rock and roll books just this year. After the spotlight review, I'm going to preview, review, and recommend a bunch of new titles that just came out. One of the books is from a person who did the last interview with John Lennon just hours before he was killed. And there's also another Lennon piece, a documentary that just dropped this month. A lot of Lennon stuff, a lot of stuff overall. It's that time of year. The holidays always bring a ton of new releases, so get ready for a bunch of new things to check out. And as always, I promise to deliver to you with all the passion of Kiss's love of pyrotechnics. I'm your host, Big Rick. Let's plug in and get the show started with a review of Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska. Springsteen recently said the Nebraska album, released in 1982, was his best work to that time, and still may be. Better than Born to Run? Darkness on the Edge of Town? I mean, that trilogy that concluded with a double album, The River? Nebraska, better than any of those three albums? That is a hard argument to make, but writer Warren Zanes just destroys that debate in the pages of Deliver Me From Nowhere, an absolutely fascinating exploration, and to me, one of the best all-time about the creative process and making of a single album. I just can't believe this story hasn't been told before. This is one of rock and roll's most fabled, unlikely albums ever recorded. And Zanes is able to unearth all that went into the birth of this dark masterpiece while thoroughly laying out why Bruce unraveled these personal story songs. This was a time when Springsteen was struggling. After Born to Run kind of dropped the staff in the sand, with Springsteen finally declaring his arrival on his terms and blasting away all that next Dylan hype that was swirling, and then the follow-up jab of Darkness on the Edge of Town, and then followed by the knockout double LP, The River, I mean, what was left to prove? Springsteen was trying to define himself while realizing he was alone and really uncomfortable with the success after these records. He was searching and he was hurting and struggling with depression when he just decided to rent a small house in Jersey to find out who was he now. Springsteen saw it as a place that he had to go to get real. So he set up a small recording system right next to his bed in this tiny room and recorded the Nebraska songs into a cassette using a beat-up boombox. And I'm talking about a cassette that you bought at a local convenience store. He had it in his pocket. No case, Zane writes. There was lint on it. Zane tells the story with the help of Springsteen. There's a lot of really great, great Springsteen moments and a few other artists, most notably Dave Alvin, Roseanne Cash, and Steve Earle, who go really deep about how Nebraska affected them and their songwriting. Remember, this was before there was any home recording devices. And after Nebraska came out, musicians realized they didn't need a big expensive studio to cut a record anymore. That Nebraska record really, really played a huge part in kicking off a lot of bands' careers with the exploration of home recording. One of the strengths of this book, and there's a lot of strengths in this book, is Zane's ability to move this story along with all the spinning plates that were in the air during this time. I mean, while Springsteen was making this Nebraska, and it wasn't even a record, he was just recording songs. He was also three or four songs deep into making Born in the USA album. And everybody on the label side was licking their lips knowing that this album was on a trajectory towards huge things. There was multiple frustrating attempts to get the East Street Band to play the Nebraska songs, but that didn't work. And then there was the massive project that was launched to get this lint-covered cassette mixed down to a place where it could even be considered to be able to be released. And they spent a lot of time and a lot of money and went through like every major producer, mixer, master out there to try to get this sound off of this little beat-up cassette. And then finally, how were they going to convince the record label that this was going to be Springsteen's next record? This has got to be one of the biggest e-break pulls in rock and roll. I can't think of another artist that was peaking and on the precipice of an even higher level that actually shut it all down and then went into an almost immediate opposite direction. I mean, Bob Dylan taking a break and releasing the Sparks Complexities of the John Wesley Harding album after the daddy of all trilogies, the Bring It All Back Home, Highway 61, Blonde on Blonde. That kind of comes to mind, but Dylan was recovering from a motorcycle accident. I guess Bruce was kind of recovering too. Zane makes an interesting case when he explores why once Nebraska was released, there was really very limited marketing surrounding. It was decided that everyone needs to experience this haunting record on their own terms. They need to come to it on their own personal conclusion about what these songs made them feel. And if you're familiar with the record, this is a really good point. Anyone I've ever talked to about this record has a very definitive take on these songs and how they were affected by them. I don't know what I'm more blown away with, the story, which is such a one-of-a-kind and an absolute fascinating recall of an artist who wasn't even trying to make a record. I mean, Springsteen was just, I don't know, exercising some long-standing demons and trying to come to grips with who he had become, or Zane's writing, which was able to mirror that stark recording of these songs and deliver the incredible details and emotion behind the Springsteen masterpiece. Put all this together and you have one of rock's greatest tales finally told in a way that reveals the magnitude of what it took to make the record. And more importantly, it gives Nebraska its moment and finally places this haunting personal recording towards the top of the greatest moments in rock and roll lore. Coming up next, Deliver Me From Nowhere gets the final RTS rating of this year. After all the rock and roll books I read this year, it's time to see where this one stands up against all the others. Before I jump into the rating, I wanted to point you in the direction of the archives. If you're looking for more recommendations for a good rock and roll book or documentary or movie, you need to check out the archives. It's really starting to grow. 17 episodes now. There's reviews and previews on artists like Bowie, U2, Jimmy Page, Lucinda Williams, the Abbey Road Studios, the Allman Brothers, Cheap Trick, CCR, and so much more. Every first Tuesday of the month, I release a new episode. You can check out all the past shows at therocktalkstudio.buzzsprout.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. Speaking of rock and roll podcasts, before I get on to the rating of the Warren Zanes book, I just wanted to turn you on to one of my favorite shows that I've been listening to lately. To me, this is one of the most entertaining rock and roll podcasts out there. It's the guys from the Rock and Roll Autopsy. They have a great show. Here's a little bit about what they're up to.
Ever wonder if rock and roll is dead?
Does the music we grew up loving align with modern sensibilities?
Or should it be relegated to the dustbin of regrettable rock history? Aww. My name is Scott.
And this is Rico. We are your rock and roll pathologists.
Join us as we take your favorite songs and put them under the knife every week on Rock and Roll Autopsy.
New episodes every Sunday at midnight, wherever you stream your podcasts.
The Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
The Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast. Check them out. All right, coming up next, it's the final rating of a rock and roll book in the year 2023. Okay, let's give this book a rating. I rate on a scale of 1 to 4. A 1 is front row center, doesn't get any better than this. This is the ultimate. It's the instant classic, one-of-a-kind work, something that really, really stands out amongst the other. That's front row center. A 2 is a floor seat. It's highly recommended. It's still a must-read. This is a don't-miss title. That's a 2 floor seat. 3 is a load seat. It's okay. It still could be recommended. It's not bad. It just didn't blow me away. And 4, you're in the nosebleeds, baby. Warren Zane's book, Deliver Me From Nowhere, the story of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska, is a front row center all the way. This is a captivating book. It's so well written. The story is so engrossing. There's so many. I can't think of any more words to prop this book. You got to get it. You got to check it out. It's just a tremendous work. A front row center read. Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska, 320 pages. And the book was written by Warren Zanes. Coming up next, I'm going to examine all the product that came out last month. Is this just a product dump for the holidays, or are there some hidden gems in there? Let's take a look. Rapid fire recommendation time, but hold up. I'm going to give you an even bigger recommendation to check out, and that's going to be the first show of next year, which talks about the winners of the 2023 RTS Award Show. Which book released in the last year was full of the most rock and roll debauchery? Which book featured the most bizarre characters, one of them being Charles Manson? What was the best rock and roll documentary? What was the best rock and roll book of the year? All of these questions will finally be answered at the first annual RTS Year-End Award Show. And to wrap up my first year of podcasts and to celebrate all the great titles that I reviewed, previewed, and recommended, I want to invite you to join me on the first Tuesday of the new year, January 2nd, for the reveal of this year's award winners. Okay, here we go. Let's get into it. The books and documentaries that came out last month, a few of them that I read and I saw, and a few that I'm going to preview and review and, as always, recommend. Let's start with a book, Confessions of a Rock and Roll Name Dropper by Lori Kay. Here is a rock and roll story that is a real stunner. Lori Kay, the author, who at the time was in her early 20s, was the last person to interview John Lennon. Just hours after she left the Dakota, John was killed. Kay actually bumped into the killer. She refuses to mention his name in the book, and I'm going to honor that. The killer actually blocked her exit and harassed her on the way out, and so much so that she understandably regrets to this day that she never reported him. I mean, Kay's life is also full of other one-of-a-kind rock and roll moments. She talks about it in the book. She's interviewed the other members of the Beatles. She interviewed Mick Jagger, Bowie, Talking Heads, to name a few. This is a very personal story written with Kay's unique delivery that not only features the details of everything about the Lennon interview, both the best and worst day of her life, but also about how this one-time radio intern worked her way up in the music industry to interact with so many rock and rollers. This is a really cool story, Confessions of a Rock and Roll Name Dropper by Lori Kay. Here's another great book I recommend, and that's Bob Dylan's Mixing Up the Medicine. This book is written and edited by Mark Davison and Parker Fischel. This treasure trove of mostly never-before-seen Dylan items is full of rock and roll history and comes directly from the massive Dylan archives at the Dylan Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The jaw-dropping artifacts from the archives, which include a bunch of alternative lyrics, one on the back of a fax from Leonard Cohen, there's letters from Bruce Springsteen, Johnny Cash, and George Harrison, to name a few, tons of studio notes, great never-before-seen pictures, basically, you get a glimpse into the archives, and that's something that is not available to the general public. I like also how the authors use these one-of-a-kind items to tell the chronological story of Dylan's shape-shifting career. The book is sprawling, it's gorgeously illustrated, and has over 600 pages in it. It's a coffee table-style book that is interspersed with a host of Dylan scholars, authors, and admirers that the authors chose to present an essay on one of the items they got to personally pick out and spend time with from the archives. I read a lot of Dylan books, and there is no way my collection would be complete without Mixing Up the Medicine. In a lot of ways, this has to be one of the most incredible books, especially visually, ever put together on the one and only Bob Dylan. As I mentioned, it's the holiday season. A flood of stuff just came onto the market. I want to just highlight a few of them that caught my attention. Thurston Moore's Sonic Life book just came out. He was a founding member of Sonic Youth. This is a great book. He grew up in a small town in Connecticut. I grew up in a small town in Connecticut. I haven't read it yet, but it looks really cool. Also, Paul McCartney's Lyrics is out now on paperback. And this was the first podcast episode review I ever did back last January. It was my first front row center rating. There are only a couple of few that I gave out last year, but this is a great, great book. It's expanded out. There's seven more stories in it. Paul McCartney took the songs that he's recorded over the years and kind of built his memoir around it. So it's not an official memoir, but it is his life story told with the songs. 624 pages in the paperback book, 2 years after the original hardcover edition came out. This is a great one, Paul McCartney's lyrics. Speaking of the Beatles, a lot of Beatles in this show. New George Harrison book, The Reluctant Beatle, acclaimed Beatles biographer Philip Norman. He wrote a really cool Beatles book. I remember that came out in 2005 called Shout. This is being billed as a rare and intimate portrait of George. I'm always open to read more stuff about George Harrison. So this one looks cool. George Harrison, The Reluctant Beatle. Okay, on to this month's rock and roll documentaries. It's another very unique tale about a Beatle, and this one's about John Lennon. Rock Docs, this month's Rock Docs, May Pang's Rock Doc came out, and I saw it. It's great. It's called The Lost Weekend, a love story. May Pang's first boyfriend was John Lennon. Her first live-in boyfriend was John Lennon. Her first love was John Lennon. And that's what this documentary is. It's a love story about May Pang and John Lennon. But this is different from all the other famous Lennon's Lost Weekend tales. This time we get a deeply emotional telling of this relationship through the eyes and words of May, who narrated the doc and really pulls you in and furthers the personal and intimate feelings of this story. May was 19 when she walked into Apple Records in New York City, where she was born in Spanish Harlem, walked right in, right up to the front desk and asked for a job. She didn't even know Apple Records was in New York. Next thing she knows, she's assigned a job as an assistant, and the client was John Lennon and Yoko Ono. At 19, she was hanging with a Beatle and living a life way beyond her dreams. And that's not even the craziest thing about this story. With Yoko and John having trouble in their relationship, Yoko suggests, you can even say convinces May to date John Lennon. And so begins the famous Lost Weekend period of John's life that turned into 18 months of a whirlwind relationship. The doc is full of May's personal items from that time. You get letters and drawings from Lennon, and also some amazing archival footage, recordings of John around the house, tons of photos from the wild Hollywood lifestyle they were leading at the time. You can't help but feel good about the fact that May gets to tell her story here. She helped John get sober, get back into recording, and maybe even more importantly, played a huge part in reconnecting John with his estranged son, Julian. I highly recommend anyone checking out this amazing story, May Pang's The Lost Weekend, a love story. One more documentary to talk about. It's just coming out. I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait to see this one. It's called The Immediate Family. It's from the director of The Wrecking Crew, that great documentary. Danny Tedesco put this together, and it's about the session players in Los Angeles. Danny Korchmar, Leland Sklar, Russ Kunkel, Waddy Wachtel, and Steve Postal, who's played on a ton of recordings. I counted 16 film festival awards that this thing has already racked up. This is going to be a highly anticipated documentary. I can't wait to check it out. It comes out this month, Immediate Family. And that wraps up this month's Rapid Fire Recommendations. Remember, January 2nd is a reward show. Going to wrap up my first year of podcasting, the first year of the Rock Talk Studio with the best of the best. I hope you can join me. Thanks for tuning in. Love talking rock and roll and getting a chance to recommend a few titles for you. I appreciate anyone who takes a few minutes out of their day to enjoy the ride with me. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed reading the books and watching the documentaries and putting all this together. All right, tear it down, pack it up, and head on down the road. We'll see you next time in the Rock Talk Studio.